Welcome again. I just want to let you know that according to the scriptures, you can use your testimony to get your way to your victory. And some of you have been in this room for some time. I'm sure you've heard me teach on that. And we read it out of the book of Revelation chapter 12. And in verse 11, it gives us the secret is the Lord. And the secret is right here. And they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Blood of the Lamb, using that in every situation, is something that most Pentecostals are familiar with, most believers. But sometimes we forget that the word of your testimony is so powerful. Keeping the testimony of the Lord in your tongue, it's actually His testimony. What it is we're telling of our confidence in Him that He is able to do it. And we tell that ahead of time, even before you physically see it. Praise the Lord. A testimony can be a written statement, a verbal declaration. It can also be an affirmation. You go into court of law, you may be asked, is it your testimony that such and such is what you witnessed, or such and such is what happened? Is it your testimony that you know that the Lord is going to give you the victory? Well, if that's the case, then go ahead and declare it even ahead of time. Praise the Lord. As it is written in the book of Numbers chapter 14 and verse 28, the Lord says, as you have spoken in my ears, even so will I do unto you. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, even so shall I do unto you. That's why it's so important. Speak positive in the ears of the Lord. And He said, well, that's what I'm going to do to you. That's right. Don't think any evil and don't say any evil, but speak only positive things. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us, you know, you are ensnared with the words of your mouth. You are taken by your own words. That's what it says. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, and thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. These scriptures give us an insight into how we can use the testimony of the Lord. Let's read about the testimony of the Lord. This the title of today's lesson is taken from Psalm 19. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, the law of the Lord is perfect, he says in Psalm 19 and verse 7, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Isn't that wonderful? That's even poetic. It's so nice to even read that. The sound of it, even in our ears, is so good. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, let's stand in that steadfastness today and declare the goodness of the Lord. The more you declare it, you know, the more you, the closer you get to the realization of what you are declaring. Praise the Lord. We've talked about that multiple times in this room, and we're going to do the same today. Praise the Lord. So the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 26, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mightest be justified. Well, declare it, he said. Well, what is it that you're going to declare? Well, we read it yesterday. You know, you find it in the volume of the book, what's written of you, and you declare it because you believe. He said, well, you know, as because I have believed, therefore have I also spoken. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Well, we also believe, and therefore we speak. So speak that which you believe. Praise the Lord. And before I turn it over to for you to give your testimonies, remember, a testimony is not only until the end result has been physically obtained. That's the way many of us give testimonies. We give a testimony, you know, when it's all said and done, it's in the bag, you know. And some people will say, well, I'm waiting for these things to complete and I'll give my testimony. Well, okay, that you can do that, but that you can get that thing quicker by giving your testimony as a tool towards getting your victory, because they overcame the devil by their testimony. Not after they overcame, then they gave the testimony, you know, but they actually used the testimony. They stood fast in the faith. You know, Paul said, well, you know, at the end of his days, he said three things. He said, look, I have fought a good fight. You know, I have stayed the course. And I have kept the faith. Well, we're not there yet at the end, but we can say those same three things in this way. I am fighting the good fight. I am staying on course. And I am keeping the faith. And I'm not backing down from the devil. Praise the Lord. So we use testimony to get ourselves the victory. Last thing I'll share, and then I'm going to turn it over to people who want to share this morning. You know, my favorite lesson on the topic of faith. So if you have heard it before, but for the benefit of those who may not have heard it, but also as a reminder, it's taken from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. I call it Faith Specs. The acronym SPEC is taken from that verse. And I love to use acronyms. So the first of the letters in the spec is an S. And that is to see the promise, which is what all we talked about yesterday. Find it in the book. How it is written of you. You know, because these people, they knew they were strangers and pilgrims. They didn't quite have the promise yet, but they saw it afar off. So that's the S. You see the promise. You see what God had already said. Whether you have it physically in your hand or not, doesn't matter. But you see it. How do you see it? Well, you search the scriptures. You find a promise. And it's written in the volume of the book. And then next thing is be persuaded. They saw the promise and they were persuaded. Abraham was also persuaded. We're told that he was persuaded that God who promised was able to do it. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So we must not stagger. That's Romans chapter 4, you know, verses 20 and 21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. That's the P right there. That what God had promised, God was also able to perform. Well, you know, and if they were persuaded, Then he went on to embrace it. He said they were persuaded and embraced the promise. And then they began to confess it. So we see four things in that little verse, but so powerful. So powerful. And many, many years ago, the Lord revealed this to me. I have been using it ever since. See the promise. That's the S. Be persuaded. That's the P. Embrace it. That's the E. And C is the confess, which is what we are going to do today. And all of that happens before you actually see anything. Because we are told that these people didn't see anything quite yet. You know, they hadn't actually obtained the promise, but these were the things they were doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, what's the difference between persuade and embrace? Well, being persuaded is what most of us understand. I mean, ask any believer, they believe that God's able to do all things. You know, that's what makes you a believer. You know, and so we believe, you know, with God, there shall nothing be impossible. Well, embrace is a little bit different. Embrace is laser focused on the particular situation at hand. So not only can God do all things, but is he going to do it in this situation? Did you believe that? You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were persuaded. And God, you say, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. That's being persuaded. That's non-negotiable in the, you know, process of faith. You must be persuaded. But then they went one step further and say, and he will deliver us. That's embracing him for the situation at hand. You know, and sometimes we find it difficult to do both. Martha at the grave of Lazarus, when Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Well, she knew that. And she was persuaded that the brother will rise in the resurrection. And she went on a rant and said, well, you know, I know he will rise in the resurrection and so on and so forth. I know you are the Christ and all these things. You know, but she could not just embrace it for the moment. Because my brother is 4 days in the grave, stinking now, she said. And it was hard for her to embrace it for the moment. You know, but Jesus, the mercy of God, you know, was ready to override that situation for her. And she showed the disciples something. Because Jesus had said, I'm glad that for your sakes I wasn't there. So he was not going to let the fact that she couldn't embrace it stop that teaching moment. You know, that he was going to show the disciples, whether they are in the grave or not, doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. So, but you got to embrace it for the moment. Oh, yeah, he will rise in the resurrection and so on and so forth. But do you believe this? Jesus said, believest thou this? This one thing, and believe that God is able to do all things. God's able to raise the dead. But, you know, when a situation happens close to us, do we actually believe this in this particular situation that God can do it and that he will do it? That's the embrace part. You embrace that promise. You embrace the ability of God to do whatever it is that you found that he spoke that he can do in the word. Embrace it for this particular situation. And then the last step, which is the C, is you turn around and confess it. That's your testimony. Confess it even before it happens. Yeah, that's how you overcome the devil. Your testimony. What is your answer of peace? I mean, what is your answer of faith, rather, when you are faced with crisis? Against all odds. You know, I mean, Abraham's wife was many, many years old. He himself was very old, you know, and, you know, they couldn't bear a child, they thought, you know, but the Lord gave him the promise and he embraced it and he got to confess it. How did he confess in his own particular case? He changed his name. You know, he changed his name from Abraham to Abraham, which means father of nations or multitudes. And he went about saying, don't call me Abraham anymore. Call me Abraham. That's how he embraced it in his own particular story. Our names are so powerful, ladies and gentlemen. You know, so he embraced it by changing his name. He gave a testimony 25 years before he actually got the thing. He started calling himself Father of Nations even before he got it. boy, that's some faith, you know. So, you know, despite the ridicule of everybody around him, I thought he was crazy. When you don't even have a child, how can you become Father of Nations at your age? Well, he said, well, you know, the Lord said so. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to say so too. And you know, first, God declares something in the heavens, or in our case, in the Word of God. Then you pick it and you start to declare it. Praise the Lord. That's how it works. You know, God's already done his part. You know, and then when you begin to put together all the lessons over the last few days, and then when you begin to give voice to it, the angels, they move into operation. So that's what we're going to do today. And your testimony doesn't have to be only once. You know, Abraham's testimony wasn't only once. It was every day. Every day somebody tried to call him by a old name, he wouldn't respond. What's my name? He would say, you know. You know, and you got to give that testimony. It is sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's not going anywhere. It's steadfast. Psalm 68 and verse 11 says, the Lord gave the word. The Lord already gave the word. You know, and great is the company of those that publish it. Are you going to be among those that publish the word that God already spoke? The thing that you found that was already, you know, in the volume of the book, are you going to broadcast it? That's what publishing here means. You know, broadcast it. Make it known. Hallelujah. You know, that's right. And when you make it known, then the angels, according to Psalm 103 verse 20, when they hear you give voice to God's word, they go into operation. So that's what we're going to be doing. A short lesson today, but the rest of it is going to be testimony. We want you to learn that you can use your testimony ahead of the actual, you know, thing. Because that's what faith is all about. It's not faith if you already see it, you know. But when you haven't seen it, but you believe it and you have confidence in God's word and his ability to bring it to pass, then that's faith. And you declare your faith. There are many ways that you can declare your faith. Declare your faith and begin to take a position. And don't turn loose. Don't do any yo-yo thing. One day you believe, the next day you don't. No. Just stay with it. And keep on saying it. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. A powerful declaration of faith. And which I have asked people to memorize and study in this room, and they'll be using it. For the Lord God will help me. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? Well, he said that because in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, the Lord said to him, I will help you. You know, that's what the Lord said to him. You know, the Lord said to him in Isaiah 41, say, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. And yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. So God already said that. So now he's going to publish it. He's going to run with it. You know, so he's now going to come down in verse chapter 50 or verse 7, you know, based on what God already told him. You know, so he's already like, it's now like finding it in the volume of the book, seeing the promise, now persuaded, and now he's embracing it, and he's going to confess it. It's all wrapped up there. And he's going to say in Isaiah 15 and verse 7, for the Lord God will help me, because he knows the Lord said it, and he knows God's good for his word. For the Lord God will help me. Praise the Lord. That's right. You know, I want you to learn this verse and use it daily, especially in the face of situations that may seem insurmountable. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. And he's going to put his game face on. This man's not messing around. You know, he's ready to fight the good fight. He's ready to be the last man standing. You know, Bible says, you know, having done all to stand, no matter what, just stand right there. Stand on your post and don't give an inch. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, that's my short exhortation towards your testimony this day, to give you encouragement that you can use your testimony even before the thing occurs. Jesus himself used that many times to encourage himself. He would say, destroy this temple and in 3 days, raise it again. You know, the Son of Man shall go to Jerusalem and be put to death of the, you know, the chief priests and so forth and the Jews. And on the third day, he will rise again. I mean, he was always saying these things before it happened. Well, that's how you do it. You say it, you know, and you stay right there with it. You encourage yourself with it. And that's exactly how it happens. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read the word of the Lord unto us this morning from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 32. I'm going to read the first few verses there. And there is a prophetic declaration I want to make over the room out of that scripture reading here this morning. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel, chapter 32. And it came to pass in the 12th year. Well, forget that one. But in the 12th month, on the first day of the month, such as this. This is the 12th month and it's the first day of the month. So hear the word of the Lord. He said, that came unto me, son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, that's the oppressor. You know, I mean, he said, look, you've been like the young lion. You've oppressed. You've done all these things and so forth. But the Lord has a response. You can read that response, say, well, you've done these works against many people. You fouled up their rivers. You've messed up their waters. You've troubled their waters. You've done all of these things and so forth. But now the Lord said, I'm going to respond. I'm going to spread my net over you. And I'm going to bring you down, leave you on the land, cast you to the open field, cause the fowls of heaven remain upon you and so forth like that. So basically, here is the word of the Lord. He will have a response today. This first day of this 12th month, the Lord wants me also to take up a lamentation against the Assyrian and the oppressor, you know, and the thing, you know, you remember, you heard me speak against Pharaoh many times in this room, how he used those tactics and said, let there be more burdens laid in upon the people. Because they are idle. They are idle. And they say they want to worship the Lord. Well, increase their burdens. Put more things upon them so they won't have time. Give them more bills to pay. Give them more difficulties. You know, put a bag in a hole in their bags. You know, give these students more exams to take. Give the workers more problems on their jobs. You know, you put mountains in front of them. Make sure they don't have time to worship the Lord. Well, the Lord said, well, you've had a field day. You've put your feet in their waters. You've troubled their waters. You've fouled up their rivers. But now, on this first day of this 12th month, Makatoshe Kerilabo Sondia, Raisibondi Katoli Nakiri Makahuria, I stake up a lamentation against this Pharaoh in the lives of God's children. It is enough. Hallelujah. Just like the Lord said that last time to the other Pharaoh. It is enough. You've troubled their waters long enough. You put your feet in their rivers long enough. You fouled up their rivers long enough. It is enough. Let my people go. And that is the word of the Lord over the house. Today, on this first day, prophetic word for you on this first day of this 12th month, that the Lord now says to the Pharaoh that has troubled your waters, that has fouled up your rivers, that has troubled the waters, messed things up for you, and have put laying much more things upon you that you cannot even handle, to the intent that you may not have time to serve the Lord. The Lord said, it is enough. I'm going to deal with that failure in your life. Praise God. So I'm going to use that right now to pray over this room and to say, Lord, even as you have spoken this word against that failure, I speak it also by your commandment against the failures that are in the lives of your people, in their various walks of life, and the various things they're doing, the various tactics that the enemy putting upon them to make sure they don't have the quietness and the tranquility to serve the Lord. I come against that failure in the name of Jesus. And every one of those failures, we come against them in the name of the Lord Jesus. The failures that have troubled. Yeah, the failures that have troubled the waters of God's people. The failures that have fouled up the rivers of God's people. Remember, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the house of God. Gladness and joy was supposed to be for the house of God. The failure came in there, stepped into it, and fouled it up, messed it up. And the Lord said, it is enough on this day in the name of Jesus. And command him to back up and back off from the people of God. Thus saith the word of the Lord against the failures that have laden people with burdens too heavy to bear. The Lord said, come unto me, ye people, cast your burdens upon me. I'll take them from you. Hallelujah. Trade your burdens for mine, saith the Lord. Now that's right. The Lord said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I will cause you to go upright. That's right. I'll take the heavy burdens from your back. And I will cause you to go upright. Thank you, Jesus. For the people of God will now go upright. Their burdens and the burdens of failure that he had laid in upon their backs, the Lord said he will loosen those burdens. Thank you, Jesus. And it will cause you to go upright. Praise the Lord. Leviticus chapter 26. I'm going to read a couple of verses for you from there. And you begin, as you begin to latch on to these things today, as the Lord declared it, remember, it is written in the volume of the book, on the first day of the 12th month, that these things begin to be seen, and the Lord will begin to push back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord said, you know, I will walk among you, Leviticus 26 and 12. And I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you to go upright. Hallelujah. Let this word that the Lord has spoken with his mouth over the house of faith, concerning the failure that troubled them, let this word be verified in the lives of your people as it is this day. Now, unto everyone that is hearing this word or may hear it later, I say unto you, peace, and at such a time. On this first day of this 12th month of this year, even as it is written, the Lord rebuke the failures that have troubled your waters and have fouled up your rivers in Jesus' name. And the Lord will put it out in plain sight. You will see it too. The Lord said, I'll put it out in plain sight. I'll put the failure on the ground. Put it in plain sight, you know. And everyone will see it. But the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. In Jesus' name. Amen. and amen.